Last week, I was at the Exeter Church and I presented this sermon, but I think it's still appropriate for us because we're in a very patriotic month, right? We celebrated last weekend. Last Monday was Veterans Day. And we are all soldiers, right? We are all called to be soldiers. So, especially at the end of times, we are in a battle. We are in a war. And this is not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle, right? And like the Bible says, we all soldiers of Jesus Christ. Now, what does it mean to be a soldier of Jesus Christ? That's what I want to talk about this morning. So I invite you to please open your Bibles in the book, in the 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is a letter that Apostle Paul sent to his spiritual son, right? Which was Timothy. And in this letter, Apostle Paul gave Timothy some words of advice. And one of them has to do with being a soldier of Christ. So are you with me? 2 Timothy chapter 2. And see how Paul calls Timothy. We're going to start from verse 1. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. You then, my son. He called him what? My son, because he was his son, a spiritual son. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs. Other version says in worldly affairs, in the war business. But rather tries to please the commanding officer. Also another version says, try to please the one who called you, to choose you to be a soldier. So once we accept Jesus Christ as a Savior, automatically we became what? Soldiers. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, we're living in a war. I don't think I have to remind you of that, right? Who is our enemy? Satan, right? And this war started long time ago in heaven, right? We know that. Satan rebelled against God, and he was cast out, and he entered this world. We know that, right? And since then, we are in this war. So we're soldiers. Are you a soldier of Christ? Do you consider yourself a soldier of Christ? Yeah. I hope so. You know, it's my understanding that last week we presented some medals to those that are veterans of war, right? And we thank you for your service to our nation. And I was mentioned last week that many of the people that are veterans, they decide, they choose to be veterans, right? And then at the end of my sermon last week, one person approached me and said, well, I didn't choose, I just received a letter. So I had to go. Okay, well, I'm sorry, but. And I think, I mean, it is like that, you know? We were talking about spiritual soldiers because, I mean, it's not a choice. Once you accept Jesus, you're a soldier. And we're in a war, right? So, now, let me start with this. What did Paul have in mind when he was talking about, when he was thinking of a soldier? Let me tell you that the Israelites at that time, they didn't have an army. an organized, structured army. Are you with me? Because you know they were over the Romans' captivity or government, right? They were oppressed by the Romans. Roman has a soldier, an army. So when Paul was talking about you need to be a soldier, you need to act like a soldier, he was talking about the Roman soldiers. So, you know, his audience, when we listen to this word soldier, immediately they will picture in their minds a Roman, what? Soldier. Because they don't have any soldiers. There were some rebels, you know, around the Israelites, but they don't have any established soldiers. Are you with me? So what is a Roman soldier? I did some little bit of research, and we can have a very understanding of what is a Roman soldier is by some pieces of archaeology. So I found, okay, that's what we read. These, what are those? Those are coins. That's a coin, right? Both sides. So on one side, you have the picture of the Caesar, right? And in the other side, you have what? A soldier. Now, it's very significant, right? Usually, when what you put on your coins is something very significant for that nation, right? Usually, it's a former president. But in the Roman soldiers, in the Roman currency, especially in this kind of coins, they have a soldier. Because, you know, the soldiers play a tremendous role in the establishment of the Roman Empire, right? And they were, you know, really good soldiers, good training. And you can see that the soldier is holding a captive head, right? He's grabbing him by the hair. That's a symbol of, you know, power. And submission, you know, I'm submitting you. Because, you know, it was a worldwide empire on those days. So we can learn about the character of the Roman army back in those days. Now we have the Roman legionaries. What were the Roman legionaries? That was that would be the equivalent to the infantry. Are you with me? The people that, you know, is in the front of the battle. That goes and takes territories, you know. That was the lowest rank for the army, okay? They were called the Roman legionaries. And then I found something very interesting. And this is another type of soldiers. And they were called the Praetorian Guard, okay? And you can see it right there. This was the kind of the elite soldiers, the SEALs, right? The special forces, okay? And they will serve usually as bodyguards for the high rank government people, okay? Like governors and people that had positions in the government. And by the way, this was the guard that took Jesus. Remember that? In the Mount Olives, they sent a Praetorian guard. So it was not just legionaries, regular soldiers who took Jesus. It was this special body of soldiers. They, the more skills. Okay, so going back to our text, when Paul is talking about being a soldier, now we know what he's talking about, what he's referring to. This type of very brave, special, loyal soldier. Now, what are the characteristics of a good soldier? According to this text, they have to have endurance, right? Endurance, obedience. Those who have served in the military, is obedience important? Yeah. Very important, right? You have to obey. obey the orders. You don't discuss the orders, right? You don't discuss the commands. You just obey them. All right? So, are we soldiers of Christ? Are we obedient? Sometimes we try to discuss, right? Negotiate with God. But we're not supposed to do that. Discipline. Is discipline important? Yes. If you're not disciplined in the army, that can kill you. Right? Being disciplined. What else? Commitment. And we're going to talk about this later. You have to be committed. You have to be faithful, right? To your chief and command. And for us, this is Jesus Christ. Are you committed? Am I committed? I hope so. And respect. You got respect, right? Okay, so let's talk about two of those characteristics of a good soldier. Paul says, endure hardness. What does it mean? Brothers and sisters, being a soldier is not easy. Being a soldier of Christ is not easy. You have to have endurance. Because we're in a war, right? And Satan is trying to defeat us. Satan is shooting at us. Missiles. Different weapons. We live in this war. And we don't have peace in this war, right? And things can go bad at any time. Just a telephone call, right? A text message. A call from your doctor. Life in this world is not easy because we're in war. We're in a battle. But we need to endurance. A condition that is difficult to endure, suffering, deprivation, oppression, a life of hardship. An instance of or cause of this, something hard to bear, as a deprivation, lack of comfort, or constant toil or danger. They faced bravely the many hardships of a frontier life. So that's what it means, endure hardness. It's tough to live in this world. But we had the Holy Spirit. We had God. And He helped us to endure life. Okay? God said that in this world we will have troubles. But be encouraged, because God, Jesus Christ, has defeated this war. Amen. I know. I mean, we're still happy, right? We need to enjoy life, right? Amen. Nothing wrong with that. But along the way, let me tell you that it's going to be hardship. You know, we are Christian, we accepted Jesus, we are soldiers, but we still get sick, right? We still have problems in life. We still have crisis in our life. Isn't that true? There will be a day when we all be in heaven and there will be no more suffering, right? And you know, that day we all be called veterans of this war. Because we all are in the army. But for now, we have to endure. Don't get discouraged. You know, sometimes in the past, some new Christians, people that are starting, you know, learning about God, had come to me and say, Pastor, what is it that, you know, before my life was okay, you know, I have a job, you know, I was healthy, I have everything. But then I start, you know, getting to know about Jesus, starting Bible studies, and suddenly everything goes bad, everything goes wrong. Have you heard that before? I mean, it's not supposed to be the other way. I usually tell them, you know, the fact that now you're getting all these kind of problems and troubles and crisis in your life is a sign that you are in the right path. Because when you are far away from God, you know, Satan is okay with that. Just leave it like that. Enjoy life. Enjoy the world. But as soon as you decide to come to Jesus, Satan is not happy. And he's going to test you. He's going to tempt you. Would you agree with that? Because he wants to discourage you. He wants to kill you. So, let me tell you something. If you are going through difficulties in your life right now, crisis, maybe you just was diagnosed with a disease, I don't know. Maybe you just lost your job. Whatever it is, thanks God for that. Because you are in the right path. Amen? Amen. And endure. Never lose your faith. We need to keep going. We need to keep fighting the good battle until Jesus comes to take us home. I have told you these things so that in me you might have what? Peace. Can we have peace even though we are in battle? Even though we have problems? Yes. Peace in our mind. Peace in our hearts. Right? In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Amen? Amen. There's nothing to fear. Because God is with us. And we can have peace. If you are with God, you have peace. The moment you depart from God, there's no peace. You're fearful. So always trust God, brothers and sisters. Never walk away from Him. Because He is the only one who can provide refuge and shelter and peace to my heart and my mind. Endurance. And then Apostle Paul tells Timothy not to get entangled with this world. What entangled means? Get trapped. And we live in a society that, you know, it is easy to get entangled, to get distracted, right? But what happens if a soldier gets distracted in the war? In the war? That can be devastating, right? Get distracted. Focus on the goal. I read this paragraph right here, and I thought it was interesting. I have become entangled when business gets such a grip on me that I give my best effort to the making of money, in thus gaining a living. I lose a life. Is that true? I mean, we have to go to work, right? Money is important. You know? Bible talks a lot about money. The problem is what my priority is on the money. Making a living. That I forget where I'm going. And let's never forget where we're going. This is a temporary world, right? All this is going to burn up, right? So what is your priority? What is my priority? I should talk to myself first in this world. Making a living? We were talking this morning in the Spanish Sabbath school class. Sometimes we, as Christians, we are blessed by God, right? But we, sometimes we come to a point that we love more the blessing than the blesser. And that's a problem. Because then God has to compete for our affection to him. And many times when God sees that, he needs to take away the blessing. So we focus our affection only on God. So being blessed can be dangerous, right? So set your priorities right. That's an invitation for me and for you. Be God number one in your life. And don't get entangled in this world. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. We need to go to work every day, make a living. But you know what? God always provides. Right? God always provides what we need, not necessarily what we want.
Amen.
But he knows better. And he knows what we need. I have become entangled when I become involved in this world politics as a means of solving man's problem. Right? Can the politics, I don't like to talk about politics, but can man, governments, solve men's problems? No. This reminds me, a long time ago, I think it was like 1993, something like that, when I read an article in a supposedly scientific magazine. And in this article, the author mentioned, they were talking about some predictions on science. And they will say they say that in the year 2025, that's in 6 more years, right? Most of the humankind problems will be solved. So that was, I read that in 1992, I believe, 1993. And they, you know, they show some examples like, you know, they will find a cure for cancer. They will find a vaccination for HIV. They will find a way to eliminate pollution of this world. So it will be, in other words, it will be paradise, right? In heaven, here on earth. So we're getting close, and I don't see the solution, you know, for those problems. Because there's no solution, right, for this world's problems. It's only God.
Amen.
Right? I become entangled when I put more emphasis on social service than on gospel as the panacea towards ills. Yes, we need to reach the community, right? But that's temporary. And when we do community outreach, it's to meet their needs. That's Jesus Christ's method. But bottom line, what we want is to let them know that there is love and there is grace in God, that they have a Savior. Okay? That's our mission. We need to spread the gospel. Yes, like Jesus did, we can do community outreach and try to meet their different needs. But our final goal is to talk about God and let them know that they have a Savior.
Amen.
So never lose that goal and get entangled in in world's business. I have become entangled when the kingdom of God and his righteousness ceased to have first place in my life. And this is a question for me and for you this morning. What is the place of the kingdom of God and his righteousness in your life? Is this first place, second place? We're Christians. We're church, right? So that should be number one in my life, my priority. And the fire should be there. Are you on fire for Jesus? Am I on fire for Jesus? You want to serve him as a good soldier of Christ? What is my motivation? What is your motivation to serve the Lord? Or is the world traps you in all other stuff? I mean, we live in the world, right? Of course we live in the world. But let's never forget what is our priority. And finally, I have become entangled when I'm caught up by things that are too small for a child of eternity, like the mineral deficiencies on the tomato and cochlear, the summer habits of Wyoming, antelope, and all that kind of stuff, right? Those are irrelevant, right? We need to study about what is relevant, and that is salvation. Because, brothers and sisters, this world is ending, right? So we need to study more about God and salvation and talk to others about that. So don't get entangled. That was Paul's advice to Timothy. You're a soldier, and we're on battle. It is not the ministers alone who are soldiers, but every man and woman who has enlisted in Christ's army. Okay? So it's not the pastor, the only soldier, right? It's everyone. And are they willing to receive a soldier's fare, just as Christ had given them an example of his life of self-denial and sacrifice? We're called today to self-denial. Are you willing? Am I willing? I hope so. What self-denial have our churches, and this is a very strong message from Ellen G. White, what self-denial have our churches has Paul manifested? And listen to this. They may have given donations in money, but have withheld themselves. Wow, this is very strong for me. And I can understand this because it's easy, you know, to make contributions, and that's good, right? It's easy to pay a Bible worker than do the work myself. Are you with me? It's easier. So I think this is a very strong message for my church and for myself individually. Are you withholding yourself? Or are you giving it all to Jesus? That's my question for me. All right. And finally, like I said before, one day in heaven, we all be veterans. Amen? And we'll not receive a medal like the veterans received last week. We will receive what? A crown. It's a good soldier of Christ, committed to his service. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. Amen? Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearance. You want to be there? God is asking you to commit yourself today to your chief commander, which is Jesus Christ. Would you accept that call? Amen. May God bless you. And may God help us, everyone here, to be good soldiers of Christ. God bless you.